Coming. Here I am. Good evening, everybody. How's everybody doing? Good, 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 good. All right, well, welcome everyone to our Wednesday night service. Good to see everybody. Hope everybody's had a good day today. And it's been such a good day today. It's been a long day, but been a good day. We're able to be over at Grace preaching chapel this morning, and we were in the cafeteria, and they had something going on in the church, I believe, and so we had a good time, and so I always appreciate those opportunities. And tell you what we're going to do, we're going to dive right in tonight to our prayer requests and praises, and then we'll mention some things about upcoming events. First and foremost, I'd like to say happy birthday to Miss Vicky. Happy birthday, Miss Vicky. And I think we got a little something here in a minute to show. There you go, Miss Vicky. You're on the screen. There you go. And that hand right there is Miss Mary Kelly's hand doing a fist bump. So just so you know, happy birthday. We love you, appreciate you both, and just want to honor you on your birthday. Thank you, Brother Randy. I threw that in there a little soon, brother. And so we appreciate that, and appreciate your family. Let's remember our children's home. Let's remember all of our house parents and children, young people. Let's remember Brother Alan Clayton as he continues to heal from his back surgery. Of course, he was here Sunday. Miss Pat Eccles, as she recovers from a fall. I'm sorry, I got to get rid of this mint. I'm not that talented anymore to have a mint in my mouth and talk. But Miss Pat, she was here. Brother Johnny was here Sunday. But let's continue to remember them. And Leonard and Dolores Palmer and his treatments, Miss Dolores' heart condition. And we got an update from his cancer, Bro Leonard, and it's being contained from what I hear right now. So we praise the Lord for that. It's not spreading. It's being contained. And so with that being said, the immune therapy evidently is working. And so praise the Lord for that. We're going to, Lord willing, have a visit with them tomorrow and catch up. It's going to be a while before they're back in church.
I saw them today.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Doing good.
Well, good.
But his colon started, his colon looked like it started to come back. He said he was just tired.
Yeah. Well, appreciate that update. And
I talked to Dolores last night for probably about an hour.
Oh, wow.
She said that everything was fine. They were really using him more or less. I said a guinea pig, because what they're doing, if it works on him.
Yeah. Well, it seems like it's working, so that is great. That is great. And, of course, it's good to have Miss Cheryl. I know you were here last Sunday, but your trial with the kidney stone and everything, you still feeling good?
Good.
Continue to remember my grandparents, if you would, my grandfather, my grandmother, as they continue with their health, James and Shirley Townsend, Don and Carla Rich, Miss Carla's brother, Don, Connie Norton as she recovers, Diane Ely, Miss Claudia, Darby, Harold Dolph, Jim Daly, and his foot. He should be getting a word pretty soon on the surgery he has to have. And so just remember him. His mother, Miss Dawn, and the Ashworth family, our shut-ins, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, Miss Emily McCrickard, Joyce Manning, those, or Brother James Tolan Brown, that's in the Marines, Kevin Brook, Champion Christian College, and of course, Jamie Carden in the Air Force. Chrissy, how's Emily doing with her surgery recovery?
She's doing a lot better. She has 15 more minutes right now.
Good.
But they were affected
They were? Okay. Well, let's remember them, and let's also remember all the other people that their lives have been touched by Hurricane Helene. And from what I hear, we have some other ones coming in, some more storms, possible hurricanes, systems. So let's just remember that God will protect everybody. And others could recover from what they've lost and what they've been through. And so let's just remember that. All right, we'll open up the floor. Maybe if you have a prayer request, an update, a praise, it's on.
Pray for my best friend's dad. He's on hospice.
Okay, we sure will. Anybody else?
Jeff. Forgot to say
that. Okay. Nancy McClendon, her son, Keith, he had shoulder surgery this week, and so let's remember him as he recovers from that. Anybody else?
Remember the Padgett family. They'll be burying his wife tomorrow. So
okay. Remember this family. Anybody else? Let's just remember our young people downstairs tonight and the teachers as well that will be teaching them. Of course, our service up here as we get into the service. Also, Trunk or Treat that we hold annually is right around the corner. We're going to have that on the 27th at 5 p.m. This will be the Sunday night service. We'll be setting up our trunks. If you want to participate in setting up your trunk with candy and things like that, decorations, there's a sign-up sheet Miss Liela made. If you'd like to participate in that, you can. Last year, I had a Braves trunk, and I was signing baseballs and handing them out, and they're not worth a penny, but anyway, I was signing them and had all my baseball stuff set up. It's a good alternative, you know, for young people. Instead of getting involved with all the horror and staying out late at night doing those things, that we can have something here at church where we can use it as an opportunity to witness, to invite people to church, and something good for the kids to have something fun. So remember that sign-up sheet over there. Brother Jeff. Okay. Is that those who've been here before? Okay, yeah, okay. Gotcha. All right. Absolutely. We got that wrote down. Thank you for sharing that. Anybody else tonight? All right. Well, let's just remember all the services going on tonight in the church world. And let's remember this upcoming election. And so go vote. Not plan on doing that. Plan on doing it. Vote biblically. Vote morally is how I would say vote. But please do so. This is a big election. All right. Anything else to mention before we pray? All right. Well, we're going to have a time of prayer together like we do each and every Wednesday night. Those that like to join us in the altar, you can. You can pray where you're at. And Brother Jeff has a song. And then we'll bring the lesson for tonight.
going to do Just a Closer Walk with Thee.
Having service tonight, last Wednesday night, me and my family were out of town, and I was having Ceylon teach, but chose to call the services off because of the hurricane, Helene, and it was bad up there, and we received word that it was going to be bad down here, so we'll have Brother Ceylon come and speak on a Wednesday night pretty soon, but thank you for your willingness, brother, and thank you for being here tonight. John chapter number 21. John chapter number 21 is where we're going to be for a few moments this evening. And John chapter number 21, I want to look at verse number 1 down through verse number 6 in just a moment after we pray. And familiar story here in the scriptures. We're going to talk about a certain fishing trip tonight before it turns fall time and we get into winter time. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for all things. Be with us in the next few moments. God, this service is just as important as a Sunday morning service or a Sunday night service, just as important as chapel service this morning at GCA. I pray that you would speak from your living word to the hearts of your people, those watching on Facebook, listening online. I pray that we'll be encouraged and maybe even someone would be saved. And Father, we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. And amen. All right. John chapter number 21. Notice if you would in verse number 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. We're going to stop there in verse number 6. The story continues. Those who read the Bible and have heard this account, read this account, know that the story continues. It goes a bit further, but we're going to stop right there. I want to deal with some of these verses tonight. Again, that's reading John chapter 21, verse number 1 through 6. I want to speak tonight on this subject, if I could, the greatest fishing story ever told. I say it's the greatest fishing story ever told because it has two things in it. It has fish, but also it has principles. And so there's a lot of fishing stories that are great out there. And I have some fishing stories of my own. First, I have the first bass I ever caught. This is the biggest bass I ever caught. This is one of my great fishing stories. I know it's going to be hard to see from the back, but this was the first bass, Ceylon, I ever caught. Look how big that whopper is. Look how big it is. Y'all see that? The first bass I ever caught. And I had a Floyd Road Baptist Church shirt on that says, Fight the Fight. I got you. I'm following you. Yeah. That is a 30-pound bass, Ceylon. 30, ever been a 30 pounds? No. I got nervous and I almost fell out of the boat. And so I just let it go. I thought, man, this is a freak of nature. I mean, really, it was so big, and I just let it go. But that's my fishing story, one of them. And that was actually at Christie's grandparents' cabin up in Blue Ridge when they had it. It was a small pond about the size of the sanctuary. And it was getting dusk one night, and I put on the brightest bait I had. It was a green lure. It had a spinner on the side of it, and I didn't think anything about it. I just threw it out there. I started reeling, and all of a sudden my reel went, and I seen this big thing glowing coming up to the surface. And so what a day that was. What a night. So I got other fishing stories. You've heard it before, the time that myself and CJ and the boys, we all went out on the ship. I believe we left I believe it was like 8 o'clock, 4 o'clock, I believe it was, 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening in Panama City at Captain Anderson's. We went out there in the 30 miles offshore, and we came back like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know what I hooked, but I hooked something massive that night. The captain actually came out of his quarters, and he looked down at me, and everybody was surrounding me, and I had that big pole, and I was reeling and reeling, and my shoulder was hurting so bad, and the rod was dipped over on the side of the boat. I mean, it was something huge, I promise you. And what happened, about 10 minutes in, the line, pew, snapped. I lost the fish. But I will say it was a big one. And it was probably a 1,000-pound grouper or shark. So I just want you to know. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But those stories, they stop with the fishing part. Great story. I'm sure you may have some fishing stories or some kind of stories along those lines. But, you know, this story tonight in the Bible, it's more than just the fish. There's some life principles that are wrapped up within it. There are some things in this story tonight that the Holy Ghost allowed to be penned in the Bible, and these things can change our life. There are some life principles in here about the greatest fishing story ever told. So I want to give you 4 quick things tonight. Some of them are bad, and some of them are good, but it makes both to make a great story. Number one tonight, we see Peter's decision to go fishing. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. Now, many people know when it comes to fishing that timing is everything. You either go at sunrise or you go at sunset. Some have even said you go when the moon is full or there's a new moon. Timing is everything when it comes to fishing. But when it came to Peter and these disciples here, they were experienced fishermen, but they chose the wrong time to go. Peter was the leader of the pack, and he chose the wrong time to go. And I say he chose the wrong time to go because he went when he was discouraged. He went fishing when he was discouraged. I want you to think about this for a moment. Peter and the other disciples had willingly left behind successful careers, fishing being one of them. They had left their families to follow Jesus. They had total confidence that Jesus was who he says he was, who he said he was. They followed him proudly, and they followed him faithfully for 3.5 years. They pretty much followed him to the garden and then to the cross. They even discussed who would sit at his right and left hand on his throne. So they believed he said who he said he was. They became instant celebrities following Jesus. Think about it. It was Jesus and the 12 disciples. Jesus performing the miracles, the 12 disciples following, the multitudes around them. And so they were instant celebrities following Jesus. But now Jesus was crucified, and Peter's faith was crushed. And so he was discouraged when he said, I go a-fishing. Now, there's different ways you can interpret this story, but this is the way we're interpreting the story tonight, and I believe it's the correct interpretation, and it's at least one of them. But Peter was discouraged, and Jesus had died. You remember Peter also denied the Lord 3 times, and he went out and he wept bitterly, and he was following from afar, and he was warming himself with the enemy by their fires, and so now his faith is crushed, and he says, I'm just going to go back to doing what I used to do. So Peter, he had a decision to go fishing, and it was when he was discouraged. Can I say this tonight? The very worst time to make a life-changing decision, such as Peter did, is when you are discouraged. When you're discouraged. For Peter, it was life-changing going back to fishing. Because the Lord saved him, the Lord called him, he left that life behind. But now the Lord's gone, and he fully didn't understand the resurrection, and Peter's faith is crushed. He is discouraged, and he says, fellas, I go a fishing. So tonight, whenever you have to make big decisions, do not make them, if all possible, when you are discouraged. We all have to deal with discouragement from time to time, don't we? Oh, yeah, discouragement comes and discouragement goes. Someone said that discouragement is simply this, the absence of courage. There's a difference between discouragement and depression. Discouragement when there's the lack of courage to go. Depression is when you can't go. That's when you need help. But we don't need to let it get that far to begin with. And so none of us should make life-changing decisions being discouraged. Listen, people have made awful business decisions while being discouraged. Many have walked out on their marriages while being discouraged. Believers have destroyed their testimonies while being discouraged. Many have made bad career changes due to discouragement. Many pastors have resigned churches being discouraged. Just faith being crushed and things not going the way that they would like for them to go and buckled under the pressure. And so the worst time to make a life-changing decision is when you're discouraged. Peter was at a low point in his life when he said, I go a fishing. I don't think it was like, I go a fishing. It was more like, I'm going fishing. I thought he was the Messiah. I'm struggling with what he says. He died on the cross. I denied his name. I'm just going fishing. I'm just going back to the old ways and the old things I used to do. Can you sense that? It's happening in the life of Peter. And how many times has that happened to us? We fail the Lord. Something isn't happening as fast as we want it to. We get discouraged. And we might say, well, I'm just going to relax my spiritual efforts for a little while. I'm just going to stay out of church tonight, and I'll be back Sunday. Sunday rolls around. You still haven't got it figured out, so you stay home Sunday. And when next Wednesday rolls around, and next thing you know, you're out of church. Discouragement can do that. He was discouraged after the Lord was crucified. Peter also made not only a life-changing decision when he was discouraged, but Peter also made a life-changing decision in haste. He made a quick decision. He made a hasty decision. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. All right, he was discouraged. But then the Bible says, they say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. So not only was it a decision during discouragement, a big life-changing decision he made, but it was a hasty decision, a hasty one. Let us pray before we make a hasty decision. Is there any decisions you have to make in your life currently? Don't make a hasty decision. And I know sometimes we don't have the luxury and waiting and praying and spending a season of prayer. And God knows all about that. He's providential. But let us pray before we make any hasty decisions. If we don't pray and seek the Lord in a situation, we can find ourselves in a mess, can't we? Being hasty. Pray before buying that new house. Pray before buying a new car. Pray before you decide to marry that person. Pray about your career. Pray about what church to attend. Don't just make a hasty decision. Peter said, I go a fishing, and immediately he went fishing. And so far, right off the bat, about this fishing trip that was so great, the greatest one ever told, is that Peter went fishing when he was discouraged, and Peter went fishing hastily. Now, there's a second thing I want to mention. Not only his decision, But I want to look at his influence. Notice this in verse number 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, the other disciples, some of the other disciples that were mentioned previously, I go a fishing. And then the Bible says, they say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And so not only Peter made a decision when he was discouraged and he made it hastily, but he influenced others to make a hasty decision. And they followed his example. We must understand, while making life-changing decisions, our decisions affect others. They said unto him, we also go with thee. Peter, in essence, took an exit off the road God had him on and took others with him. It's kind of like taking a detour you're unsure about. You're going down the road and there's traffic. And so, I don't know about you, but I've done this before. There was traffic going down the road. So I said, you know what, I want to cut down this road. And I went down this road and I looked in the rearview mirror and there was like 3 or 4 cars following me. And then I cut down this road because I think it's the way to go. And here they come. They're following me. And then I go down this road. And guess what? I hit a cul-de-sac. And everybody's turning around, backing up, and going. Yeah. Has anybody else ever experienced that before? You know what I'm saying? Driving and trying to take an exit and trying to take a better, faster way. That's kind of like Peter here. He was discouraged, and he says, I'm going back fishing, and the others followed. We always affect others in our life, whatever we do, that's good or bad. We all have some kind of influence on someone, don't you know? All of us. We're influencing someone somehow, some way, whether good or bad. And so Peter, on impulse, he said, I don't like the way I'm feeling. This whole Jesus thing could be totally wrong. And so on impulse, he says, I'm just going to go back. I'm going fishing. Don't make a decision hastily. Don't make a decision when you're discouraged, and definitely don't make a decision based on emotions or an impulse. You know why? When you check out the grocery store, they have Snickers, Reese's, bubble gum, Tic Tacs. They've got drinks, Cokes, Dr. Peppers in the cooler over here. They've got batteries. They've got car chargers. They've got fingernail polish. I mean, they got socks. They've got everything. You want to know why? It's an impulse buy. Ooh, I've been needing that. Ooh, I need that. Ooh, I need that. Ooh, I need that. Ooh, I need that. Now, you racked up $50 right there in the checkout lane. It's an impulse buy. I know, because I've done it, and sometimes I do it. Okay? Sometimes I do it. Peter was acting out of impulse. He says, I go fishing, and they followed him. And it was a hasty decision. So we see that he had an influence here. The others followed him in the direction he was going. I personally have seen people in the church world lead by their good influences, lead other people into church. But on the same token, I've seen people in the church world by their bad influence lead people out of church. You see, we're always influencing somebody at some point in time or the other. And so we see tonight, we see his influence. We see his decision. But then I want to move on to number 3. We see his disappointment. His disappointment. Also in verse number 3. Notice that last phrase. And that night, they caught nothing. They caught nothing that night. There is nothing worse than being out of the will of God because everything backfires. They had their nets. They had the experience. They had their boats. It was nighttime. They were on the water. And all night long, casting and bringing in. And nothing. Nothing. Why did they catch nothing? Because they were out of God's will. That's why they caught nothing. Was it because they didn't know how to fish? Was it because they didn't know when to fish? Was it because they didn't know what to use while fishing? They were at night. They were using nets. They had boats. They had experience. But one factor, one element they needed, they didn't have, and that was they were not in the will of God. And so they caught nothing because they were out of the will of God. God, listen, God could not bless that fishing trip. Because if God blessed that fishing trip when they went fishing, in all likelihood, they would have never got back in the will of God and never went back to ministry. Because they would have thought, when life gets hard and the chips get low, so to speak, I can go back to my old life and I can get blessed doing things in my old life. And so they were out of God's will here. They were out of God's will totally. And so they were disappointed. Don't you know Peter was disappointed? The others were disappointed. They were fishing all night and caught nothing. All their experience, everything. I'm pretty sure they're like, boys, I just don't know what's going on. It was a perfect night to catch a lot of fish and nothing happened. The reason why it backfired is because they were out of God's will. Sometimes God has to allow a lot of long nights and tough times to get our attention, doesn't he? We try to do things on our own, and we try to do things, and we say it's God's will sometimes because it's something we want to do. We didn't pray about it. We didn't study the Bible or find any scriptures to support it. We just ran with it because it's something we wanted. And because of that, God has to allow a lot of long nights and tough times to get our attention. Again, if God allowed them to catch a lot of fish on their own, they probably would have died fishermen. But God allowed a rough night to get their attention and get them back into the will of God. Listen to this story. A farmer sold another farmer a mule for plowing. The farmer tried everything in the world to get that mule to plow. Finally, he went back to the seller and said, "I can't get this mule to move," he said. And so the seller said this. He says, "Oh, I forgot to tell you. You have to get a 2x4 and smack him right between the eyes to get his attention. Then he'll start plowing." How about that? Isn't that like the Lord at times? The Lord has to get our attention by hardship, by long, restless nights at times, if we're trying to operate out of the flesh or do what we want without seeking Him and praying about something with Him. Sometimes He has to get our attention. Peter says, "If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." So Peter knew everything that he was talking about in that epistle. And so we see that God has to do that to us, or allow those things to happen at times in our life. We have to have some long nights of fishing without catching anything. And so we see that there. We see his disappointment. But then we see his instructions. His instructions. Verse number 4, notice with me, the Bible says, "But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes." A few things I want you to see here. His instructions were to cast thy net on the right side. We'll get back to that in a moment. That's verse number 6. But first, he asked this sobering question in verse number 5. "Children, have ye any meat?" Have you caught anything? What's the fish looking like in the boat? And so they answered him, "No. We don't have anything." How frustrating that must be for an experienced fisherman who had tackle and the boat and experience, who was leaning on his past, going back to those old ways and had caught nothing. And this person, they didn't know it was the Lord yet, on the shore, asked them, did they have anything? They were honest. They could have said, oh, you won't believe what we have. You won't believe what we have in this boat. They won't, yeah, how big it is either. We've got a 1,000-pounder in this boat. Huh? But this shows how discouraged they were. It just shows where they were at. Because they were honest, they says no. They said, no, we don't have any fish. And so, what was the answer to that question? We have an all-knowing God here who asked them a question, and he knows the answer. Let me tell you why an all-knowing God proposed this question to those disciples. The Lord knew there was no fish in that boat. He knew that in case something. It was driving their attention to direction. It was driving their attention to location. This is what I mean. These men were experienced fishermen, yet they didn't have a good answer to give other than the right answer, and that was no. They didn't lie and say, yeah, we got all these fish. They couldn't say we had fish because they didn't have any fish. They said no. They were experienced, yet they really didn't know what to say other than no. Children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. And this question, again, has a lot to do with location as the reason why Jesus proposed the question. Listen, they had been fishing all night on the left side of the boat. And the Bible says that Jesus mentioned the right, and so that means and implies they were fishing on the left all night long. They didn't even think about casting on the right side. Probably, number one, is because every time they would cast on the left side, in their experience, they would catch. And so they were leaning on experience here, and they did not want to cast in another direction, so they stayed casting on that left side. The Lord said, change locations. Change direction in how you're doing things, and ye shall find. Did he not say that? He said in verse number 6, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Jesus says, do it another way, and they'll be fishing your net. You've been trying it your way for so long, and you haven't got nothing. Try my way. Has everything to do with location. Maybe it seemed strange for a moment to them, but the Lord told them he could solve their problem, listen, by doing something different. When are we in our independent fundamental Bible believing Baptist churches will try something different? Listen, what has worked down through the ages and here at Calvary and other churches has worked down through the ages. The message of the gospel doesn't change, but sometimes the method changes. The method. They had their methods. They were casting on the left. What is it in your life that you need help in? Some areas you need God to change things in. Let me ask you, there may need to be a change of your method. You have tried it your way for so long. Why not try it God's way? So the Lord told them to cast on the right side, it would solve their problem. And it has everything to do with breaking loose of tradition. It has everything to do with breaking loose of their method and their mechanics. And just do it one time. One time different. And when they did, one time, something different, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. A lot of Christians are very methodical. I'm methodical too in some areas. A lot of us park in the same spot at church. Nothing wrong with that. Sit in the same pew at church. There's nothing wrong with that. We sing some of the same songs in church. No, that ain't nothing against anybody. It's just in the church world, we're methodical. We go the same way and we come home the same way. I think it's time that we change our location, not necessarily the church address. I'm talking about our method. Let's try something different. You say, what do you mean? Well, one thing is, look what we've done. Something different. Did you know? Sometimes McDonald's, Burger King, Arby's, Taco Bell, their customer basis can wane. They can start losing business. And a lot of times it's because of the restaurant and how old it is. And let them go in there and renovate, put in some new Coke machines, new paint on the outside, make it pretty, and there'll be a line around that business. Is that not true? Listen, if something isn't working anymore, then let's do something different. Let's sing some new songs. Let's sit in some different pews if we have to. Let's park in some different spots. Maybe that'll be the thing that stirs our heart for change. We can get in a certain mode where we do things mechanically and routinely, but not spiritually or out of a true desire to please the Lord and really see Him move. We've got to break some molds. I'm not talking about changing the message. I'm just talking about changing the method. Sometimes we have to move our nets from the left side to the right side. And then we ask ourselves, because we're so methodical, why don't we have any meat? Why don't we have anybody a large attendance? And I know worldwide it's a falling away. I know that. But we have some say-so in this as well. Why don't we have any more people than we have? Maybe it's time that we cast on the right side. Maybe it's time we beef up our outreach a little bit. Maybe it's time we do some revitalization in our singing department. And we are. We're looking for a pianist, a keyboardist. And listen, truly, I'm going to have some conversation. Alan knows this. Randy knows this. And everybody else knows this. We're going to have a big group meeting, and we want to change some things back here. We want to continue to have VBS, and we want to have trunk or treat, and we want to have, you know, more ways that you can serve the Lord. And I may be doing things a little bit different than Pastor Snyder or Pastor Ben. And that worked for them for all those years, the way things looked and what they did. The message is the same, but the method may change a little bit. Amen? We're talking about catching a great multitude of fishes. Wouldn't you love to come in here on a Sunday and see souls saved and people come to the altar? And listen, you do come to the altar and people get saved occasionally, but I'm ready to see God do something great. Unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask and think, according to what? The power that works within us. How about that tonight? There's a falling away, but don't you know that God wants to display His grace in these last days? Don't you know that God wants to touch Powder Springs in these last days? Don't you know that God would love for this parking lot to be filled when people drive by on Sundays? What in the world is going on at Calvary? Let me go in there and see. And they walk through the doors and they fall under Heavy Ghost conviction, or they're so encouraged by the singing and the preaching and their life is just forever changed. It can happen, church. It can happen. And it has everything to do with location. It has everything to do with methodology and mechanics. It has everything to do with position and doing things differently. And so we need to seek the Lord, find direction. And sometimes God will give us new direction to do things differently. Listen to this story quickly. Ed and Fred went fishing. They had everything. They had the reels, the rods, the line, the bait. They rented a boat. They went out in the boat. Sun up. They were fishing. Every time the line would hit the water, bam, they'll catch a fish. Bam, 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 bam. It was getting nighttime. And so they had to return their boat because it was time to turn it in. And they couldn't see because it was getting nighttime. And so Fred was pulling up the anchor. But then Ed was over here, and he had his pocket knife, and he was carving an X in the floorboard of that boat. And Fred said, "Ed, why are you carving the X in the bottom of that boat?" He says, and then Fred said, "That ain't going to be no good, Ed, carving that X in the bottom of the boat, because what happens the next time we go fishing, we get a different boat?" In other words, Ed says, there's something about this boat that allowed us to catch those fish. And you see, in sometimes we use same methods that work for a time but don't work no more. And so if churches were willing to make changes, we could probably see some different results. And tonight I want you to know that I appreciate you. I'm not preaching at you. I am speaking to a church that is willing to make some changes. And I thank you for that. We have been catching some fish, whether it's human souls being saved or just covering some grounds here at the church, revitalizing, bringing some ministries to life. We have been bearing fruit eternally. We've been growing together spiritually, and the Lord wants to fill the pews, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen in His timing, gradually. Like I tell people from time to time, I may be like Moses. I may not be able to enter the promised land, but see, Lord, I want to die looking at the promised land. And it may just be God's will for me to enter the promised land here. It may be God's will for you, but I want to die trying to lead us into the promised land. And so we see here that this was the case when it came to Peter. Peter has instructions. He casted his net on the right side. Peter was disappointed. They didn't catch anything. He influenced others. And then, of course, it was our first point, his decision to go fishing. And it was during a time when he was discouraged. And so tonight, that's the lesson and some principles out of this story. In my opinion, the greatest fishing story ever. Because if you think about it, they went discouraged. They went out of the will of God. Peter influenced in a negative way. They had a long night, long morning, but they followed instructions a different way, and they pulled in a great multitude of fish. They actually went to the shore. Jesus says, come and dine. And he went, and they ate, and they fellowshipped. What an amazing fishing story. They were forever changed. If it was not for Jesus allowing them to have empty nets, and they had filled nets in their own attempts, going back to their old jobs, I don't know if they would have ever got back into ministry. So what may be a dark night to you could be a pivotal point in your life where God is slowly turning you to dependence upon Him to do something great. Father, we love you. We thank you tonight. We praise you for all things, God. This is easier preached than lived. I thank you for a church that is on board, God. That is not even the question here. That's not what I'm preaching here tonight. I'm not preaching about Calvary. I'm just sharing a few things that we could hopefully glean individually. But there's some things also found in many, many churches around this world. While we honor the past, Lord, we move into a new era, trying to emerge into something great for you. We can do it because you're in us. We love you tonight, and we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we do pray, with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. All right.